wish for it or you can work for it.
You gotta work for greatness.
If you ain't working, you should be working.
Come on, let's work.
These are the confessions of a workaholic. Workaholic.
Welcome to Confessions of a Workaholic, where we share the success secrets of fearless female entrepreneurs who are obsessed with success. This is your girl, Coryell, and you are totally in for a treat because we have a true boss in the building. This episode is brought to you by The Inner Circle, a personal and professional mentoring program for goal-getting women. For more information on how The Inner Circle can support you and your success, visit MajorKeyMentoring.com. So let's get into it. Today, we are talking to Mahisha Dillinger, the CEO of Curls, and you've probably seen her product line in your local Target, CVS, Walmart, Rite Aid, Kroger, or your local beauty supply store, because this lady is a real badass businesswoman. Mahisha, are you ready to confess?
I am.
Yay. Okay, so I am super excited about today's conversation. I always like to start by asking what your professional background is in, because I always find it so interesting how our passions sometimes lead us away from our profession. So what did you start your career doing?
It's very poignant for sure. I actually started right out of college at Intel Corporation and stayed there about 7 years, but I was a marketing program manager for Intel. Boring. Marketing chips, you know, computer chips and technology, that was my world.
Got it. Okay, so what, I kind of know a little bit of your story because I had the pleasure of hearing you speak at an event last summer, and you did have quite a story to share. I remember you talking about how frustrated you were before you walked away. Can you give us a little, just a little overview kind of what was happening in your career that kind of pushed you toward entrepreneurship?
Oh, yeah, you mean the racist experience? It was definitely quite jarring. I worked at Intel Corporation, worked my butt off to excel. I wanted to become that good corporate citizen and rise up the ranks, have an amazing career, make lots of money, just be a boss in corporate America. I thought that I was going to retire to Intel. Then I experienced my very first I experienced racism for the very first time at Intel Corporation. And my boss, Lyle McCarthy, this tall, blonde
call him out. Call him out.
Yes, call him out, Lyle McCarthy. MCCHRTHY. Lyle McCarthy. He really had it in for me. And it was for no other reason beyond the fact that I was a black woman. I was the first one in the office, last one out. I was performing above my peers, although he wanted to put me on a corrective action plan. He was destined to get rid of me. Every single time I interviewed to get out, because I saw the writing on the wall, he would bash my name. He would tell managers they shouldn't hire me, said horrific things about me. And it was just horrible because I was a single young mother with rent to pay, car notes, private tuition. I was really doing this alone. So I didn't have time to be unemployed for a day. But he decided to put me on a corrective action plan to get rid of me in 6 months. And you talk about being stressed. I was stressed beyond belief. And I do remember praying and saying, God, you need to move this man out of my way because he is blocking me from even leaving to get out of his fold. And he wound up going to Malaysia. He took a promotion to Malaysia against his wife's will. He left, and God answered my prayer. He left. I was then able to exit out that department, got a job in a different department in Intel. And the interesting thing, how it all came full circle, is that job transition happened in November of that year. So I had my review that following January for all my accomplishments the year before. Of course, most of those months with Lyle, who called and said I was slower than an underperformer, everything I accomplished was most of the time was spent with him. 2 months or so was spent in my new department. I got ranked and rated faster than my peers. I got an increase in my pay. I got stock options because of my performance. Now, the same man who hated me put me on a plan that said I was slower than, I needed help, I needed to get fired. So it became very clear, even though it was never unclear, what his intentions were. So I wound up finding him later in the cafeteria. He came back about 2 years later to Intel Folsom. And we were sitting in a cafe, and he saw me. We made eye contact, and he was so uncomfortable that he got up and moved behind a pillar so he couldn't see me. And I thought, what a coward. So I sent him a nice little email and said, you know, thanked him for showing me that there are really ignorant, racist people in corporate America. However, I am blessed. I've gotten XYZ, a raise, stock options, increase. So not everyone has the same ignorant views as you. I am a performer. I'm here to stay, is what I said to him. He read it, did not reply. But the good thing is I just saw him on Facebook about 2 years ago, and it had a picture of him and his wife, and I sent him a nice private message with two words, Google me. And that's how I cut that off, and I'm sure he probably did.
Hello. I love it. I always love, the underdog story. And unfortunately, that is a similar scenario that so many women are dealing with in the workplace. And unfortunately, it's not always from the white man. Sometimes it's from, you know, the black woman that is, you know, the overbearing boss, or the black man that is the overbearing boss. But unfortunately and fortunately, that situation and those circumstances sometimes leads us, you know, out of that and into our purpose and what we were really born to do. And so now, yeah, you know, I believe that you have discovered your purpose. How did you end up creating Curls?
Well, I left the department that was under Lyle McCarthy, got my raise, but that whole situation was so traumatic for me that I decided I am not going to ever have anyone control my destiny ever again. They're not going to have my financial security in the palm of their hands ever again. I'm going to figure out what else I'm going to do, where I own that and how far I go, how much money I make, and what I do with my life. So although I moved to a new department and worked hard there, at that moment I started thinking of what I want to do outside of corporate America. What entrepreneur role did I want to take? What business product or service would I bring to the table? And that's how Curls was born. I was actually, my fiance at the time, who's now my husband of 15 years this year, took me away to Santa Barbara on a vacation for my birthday. And over dinner, we took out a few napkins and started jotting down ideas. And one of them was a hair care brand for naturally curly hair. I was newly natural, had relaxed my hair from, I think, seventh grade throughout high school. And then started embracing my natural hair after, like, midway of college. So I was always searching for products for my hair. I had different products I mix match under my kitchen my bathroom cabinet, but nothing really was like ideal for me. Either I had a great day, a frizzy day, an oily day. It was just never ideal. And so he actually suggested it. Like, have you decided or considered to do something in that industry? I'm like, that's a good idea. You know, very good idea. I could actually, I love it. I enjoy it. It's something that I'm searching for. It must be an untapped need. And I did my due diligence, of course, as you must as an entrepreneur, do your research and make sure it's a viable business that is sustainable. And I found that there were others in the market, just like me, who didn't want the Jerry Curl juice, didn't want perms and relaxers, who wanted something natural, organic, but still enhanced their texture. And that's how Curls was born, on a napkin in a restaurant overlooking the beautiful Pacific Ocean.
So from a napkin to a conversation to the shelves of major retailers. Now, that is one goal that, you know, many entrepreneurs may have, but they don't really know how to connect the dots. So you don't have to spill all of the beans, but can you pinpoint, like, that one thing that you did that really took your brand to the next level, that really opened the door for those opportunities, those major opportunities? Is there one thing that you can pinpoint?
One thing? I think it's always, like, in the course of entrepreneurship, there's always a series of actions. I can't say that one thing will propel you forward. It's a series of continual work, propelling yourself forward, not stopping, never giving up, and not taking no for an answer. It's a series, a combination of things. I think the first thing I did after I left Santa Barbara, came back to work on Monday, I immediately went right into my research mode and found a cosmetic chemist and hired him to get going, to get my formulas, my recipes going. And as he was doing that, then I got a web designer to start the web design. So that was kind of going together congruently at the same time. But I think it was a lot of hard work and grinding and grassroots marketing that continued to propel me forward organically over time. I don't know if there was one thing I did that changed that, but there was one meeting that changed the trajectory of the business. It was that meeting with Target. But that was having that meeting with Target came out of a series of lots of hard work and years before. So we got a call that Target was actually looking to revamp their ethnic category. And so their relaxers and their ethnic products in that category were sales were failing. So they were looking for fresh, new, young, energetic brands that had a following that were different. And so I was like, great, I'll definitely take this meeting. I went into this meeting with, expecting to potentially have a lot of objections, came out with the easiest, I'll take it all within less than 3 minutes, the easiest sell of my life. Nothing in my life has ever been that easy. But that buyer, Linda Sullivan, took a chance on curls. She brought in four ethnic brands, to give us a test. So we'll test you and the other three brands in 105 doors. We'll put you on an end cap. If you do well, we'll expand you. If not, you'll pack up your goods and take them with you. Okay, let's do it. So we got the test run. We all blew out the market. We kept growing and growing and growing. And we grew, and as we kept continuing to grow, the buyer continued to bring in new brands, and she grew the category exponentially, and that's why Target is the destination for natural hair products. But we were the pioneers and the original part of the original four that launched this whole newly natural market in the retail space. And so that was really what brought curls to the forefront. We were what I would call an underground brand before then.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that story. And it is just a testament that what is meant for you is for you. And like you say, you couldn't have dreamed that that meeting, would have been so
that easy.
But when you are in alignment with your purpose and, you are following what you are meant to do, then, it's easy. It's effortless. Things just seem to fall, into your lap. So I love that story. Just proof, that when you're following your purpose, you can absolutely make anything happen. So when it came time to actually scale your business, how did you deal, or did you have to deal with anxiety about delegation?
Anxiety about delegation. No, we were able to grow it organically because, again, we started with online initially. The brand was 100% e-commerce only when we first started. And then from e-commerce, we started to sell in local salons, and then from local salons, different salons throughout the U.S. And then from there, we wind up getting demands for distributors to sell to other stores for us and represent us. And then Target came. So it was kind of a slow progression. Over time, it was organic. And so I was able to grow it organically. As the demand came in, I was able to continue to grow and increase my investment to the company and also my exposure. So it was definitely an organic growth.
So you have experience on both sides with online, e-commerce, and retail. And one thing that I always hear when I watch Shark Tank, which is one of my favorite shows, is the risk that you take when you go the retail route versus keeping everything online. Which way, and I know it depends on, the product, it depends on the purpose, it depends on your personal preference, but which side of the business have you seen the most success in, the retail side or the online side?
Well, we started e-commerce only, but retail is really a cash cow. I mean, definitely is there risk in retail? Absolutely. I don't suggest that people go start in retail if you don't have a built-up demand and a customer base yet, but you definitely would want the exposure of that walk-by traffic in key stores. So definitely start e-commerce, I suggest, and then build up to retail. But retail should definitely depend on the product. If it makes sense, retail is a great distribution strategy.
So within all of your years of entrepreneurship, you have been through so many, experiences, good or bad. If you had to create a recipe for success and your recipe could only include three ingredients, what three ingredients would you say have really been like your secret sauce for your journey and your success?
Well, I would say, secret sauce, determination,
perseverance and purpose. You have to be determined in everything you do. If you waver and can be talked out of your mission, your goal, your business, your ideas, your philosophy, and you waver, you're not determined, and if you don't stand firm in your ground and what you want, then you won't be able to meet anyone's needs. You have to know who you are and what you're doing. So stay determined. And people will try to talk you out of things. Like, I've heard people try to talk me out of, when I launched Curls, oh, that's going to be so hard to do. Oh, my, you know how hard it is to get in retail? People that were my friends. So stay determined. And remember your purpose. That's also very important. And whenever you launch your brand, understand what your purpose is. You can't be everything to everyone. But what is your purpose? And figure that out and stick clear to it. But the most important thing is perseverance, because there will be so many no's that you will, if you don't have thick skin and determination, you can be deterred from your goals. So you definitely have to have perseverance, 110%, because you have to sometimes keep coming after the same goal over and over and over again. And rejection can happen quite a bit. If you don't have perseverance, then you won't make it.
Okay, so you mentioned one thing that I always love to talk about during these conversations, because I feel like everybody who achieves any type of success deals with not necessarily the haters, because sometimes it's people who love you, people who care, people who want the best from you, but the people who just don't see the vision and try to discourage you from seeing the vision. How did you deal with that? And I know they're like, okay, I'm sorry, my bad. You know, now that they see, you know, your success, they always come back and are like, okay, I didn't really know. But how did you deal with that? And how do you, maybe you still deal with it sometimes when you are branching out and trying something new. What advice can you offer to new entrepreneurs who are dealing with friends or family members that just don't see it or don't get it?
There will always be someone that don't understand growth or how to achieve goals or just have short-sighted visions. You have to steer clear of those people, especially in infancy of your brand, because it can definitely, if you're not careful, discourage you. So steer clear of those people. Remove them out of your day-to-day world. Absolutely. And don't talk about your business to them, because you need positivity, people that are going to uplift you and be supportive. You'll get enough no's from everyone else around you that you don't need to hear from the people that are supposed to be closest to you.
Absolutely. You just have to black it out. You know, even if you have to cut somebody off for, you know, some time, a few months, a year while you're getting yourself together, there is literally no space, no time for you to deal with the negativity. You don't have the time. You don't have the energy. Everything has to be working toward your goal. Now,
yes,
one thing that
absolutely.
I also find when I'm talking to successful women, most, if not all, are avid readers. So can you share two books that every aspiring entrepreneur must read, like two books that have changed your perspective, changed your life, two books that we need to add to our bookshelf?
Well, I have one that is such an oldie. I mean, both of these are oldies. I don't know who's read them, but one book that changed the way I view money and is important for people of color to read, because sometimes we want to live above our means, and this book helped put things into perspective for me. It was definitely a life changer as far as managing money, coming from the hood with nothing and then having money. If you come from nothing and you get money, if you're not careful, you can spend it. That's what happens to all these basketball players, Allen Iverson, a whole bunch of others. Get a whole bunch of money, and you're like, how did you blow through all that money? It makes no sense. Money management, how we view money, how we spend it, how we save it, how we delegate it, what we do with it, how we just disperse it out to our family, all those things can have a great positive impact on you or a negative detrimental impact on you. So it's all up to you how you choose to take, how to handle your money. So the one that changed my perspective is the oldie but goodie, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you read that book by Robert Kiyosaki?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a game changer.
That is an amazing book. It actually changed my mind. It was talking about the millionaire next door who had an quote-unquote average home. He was a millionaire, but how he decided to – where he – put his money in his assets and was not in his home that he lived in. It was in his investment. It was for generational wealth, and he didn't go out and buy multiple flashy cars, and how he managed his money. So he had a rich dad, who was rich in money, and then the one who had money, but he was really rich because he kept it close to him and knew how to invest it versus like just splattered everywhere. He was very diligent with how he took care of it. And his poor dad was actually rich, but poor because he was overspending. So you can make $20 million, and if you're spending $22 million, then you're poor because you don't have enough cash flow. So how you manage your money is so important. And before I started making a lot of money is when I read this book, and that was great. It was awesome for me because I launched in 2002, and this was published back in 1997, and it really changed my course of how I thought because I was, again, coming out of college, living in a project, so with a convertible BMW, and renting an apartment. So was that smart? Absolutely not. So I shifted how I look at things, my money. And as a result, as I launched Curls, I went in 2002 with a different mindset. And thank God for that, because now I'm retaining my wealth versus spending it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, Rich Dad, Poor Dad is definitely a game changer. Like you said, in our community, unfortunately, we don't always have access to these resources, to this knowledge. And so you have to take it upon yourself. Don't make excuses. Find the resources, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad is definitely one of those must-read books. It will absolutely change the way you spend money, the way you go about making money, how you invest your money. It was a rude awakening for me. So that is
it was a rude awakening for me, too. It was definitely, and it changed my course of life.
So, Mahisha, I am like a single woman, no kids yet, no husband yet, and I feel like I'm stressed out and doing the most. So when I see successful wives and mothers of four who got it going on like yourself, I'm like, okay, you are superwoman. So how in the world do you handle it all? Is there a such thing as balance? And what tips can you offer for busy women who have hopes and dreams and goals, but they're like, I don't even know how I have enough time to do this?
Okay, so is there such a thing as balance? You know, and it's quite a challenge, that question, because we all strive for balance. I don't know if it's ever attainable, because one day something will need to take a priority. Another day, another thing will need to take a priority, depending on what's on your plate. But I do keep in my mind and a priority list for me. Do I always attain this level of balance? No, but it is truly my goal is to have God first, family second, business third. Now, just last week I had my yearly meeting with Target, prepping for that through the weekend and Monday and Tuesday before I left on Wednesday morning. I had to miss a soccer game on Saturday. And so at that moment some things had to be put on hold. I have a great partner who's able to pick up when I need him to and support. So sometimes things have to be put in front of. I never will miss a holiday, a birthday, but sometimes I have to step back and take care of business to make sure that everything still is going the way it needs to be. So have I achieved 100% balance? No. Do I strive for it? Absolutely. But I definitely spend a lot of time with all of my children. I've made decisions to make things easier. For example, I send some of my key people to travel when they need meetings that I don't need to be at. I don't have to be everywhere. You don't need my face everywhere. Key people are going to different meetings for me. I also do not travel on the weekend. I've made some parameters around my life. I will never be away for a holiday or a birthday, ever. And then I also have decided, since I have so many kids, even though we have an office and warehouse, that I work from home. So I see the kids out to school, and they see me when they're coming in. So I've just made adjustments like that to try to keep as much balance as possible. It's really finding my own balance, and I'm still striving to make it even better.
And so one thing that you mentioned is the fact that you have a wonderful partner that can help you. So ladies out there, be encouraged. You really can have it all. Is there any advice or, inspirational words that you can share for single women like me who feel like or who our society kind of makes us or tries to encourage us to feel like we can't have it all and we have to choose between our personal life, our personal goals, which could be being a mother and being a wife, or, our professional goals, climbing the career ladder or creating a successful business? What do you say to people who feel like, they can't They can't have both of those.
Well, I think it's absolutely possible. I have four kids. I think having a successful mate is important. I mean, not successful, sorry, a supportive mate is important for that to happen. And I was reading on Uber Facts that people that are successful and happy in their careers, whether they're a business owner or a corporate employee, they're happier and more successful when they have a supportive spouse. So if picking the right spouse is uber important. Uber important, not only in your entrepreneurial world, but just in any corporate world, because that is a study that's clinically shown. So if you pick the right partner and you are growing and trying to expand yourself professionally, no matter what path you take, and you have the support you need, you'll be able to get more things done. So pick your mate wisely. He doesn't have an ego, my husband. When we met, he was making way more than I was. Things have shifted because of curls. He has no problem with it. And he also has no problem with taking up the slack when I need to take care of business. My mate is a true partner. And I know that I couldn't do it with four kids without him. So I would say if I could find one, so can you. But one thing we have to be willing to look outside of, and some of them may not be open to this, is looking outside of our race. My husband's not black. Although I've always dated black men, my husband's not black. But I was open to opening it to dating outside of my race, and that actually opened up my dating options too.
I love it. So it is true that, you know, who you marry is one of the most important business decisions you will ever make. So make
absolutely
sure you are choosing
wisely. I like the way you said that, business decision. It is. This is a person that, if you guys are unequally yoked to the degree that you're a saver, he's a spender. You're a creator, he's a consumer. You guys are going to be at odds. You're a woman of faith, he's not. You have to make sure you're equally yoked with this person. You have great credit, he has bad credit. Make sure you bring something to the table. You know, you don't want to bring everything to the table. Oh, you own the table. You bought the table. You put everything on the table. You don't want that. Find that you can, and you can find a man like that. Sometimes we have to open our boundaries. I feel like there's nothing wrong with a little swirl. Some women may not be open to that. I'm totally fine with it. But I feel like the more options and opportunities you have, the more likelihood you'll find someone supportive. And if you find someone like that happens to be black, awesome. I would say open up the opportunities and explore different options so that the pool is have more fish swimming in it to choose from.
I love it. Mahisha, I have truly, truly enjoyed this conversation from a personal and professional standpoint, and I know that all of my ladies listening appreciate all of this wisdom that you have been dropping. So can you please let them know where they can find you online and how they can connect with you on social media?
Absolutely. So please find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Frizz Free Curls, FRIZZ Free Curls, CURLS. And then you can check us out at curls.biz. All of our products are available at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other retailers. And we just launched, I want to say one other thing, a new liquid hair growth vitamin. And that's something new that is amazing. That's our new baby. It's unlike anything else in the market because all the other pills or hair growth vitamins are pills. And the thing that we're so excited about with this vitamin is that it's liquid form and liquids absorb up to 98% of the vitamins into your bloodstream. 98%. If you take a pill, only up to 20%. So we brought a game changer to the market, and we're super excited about it, and that's what we're kind of working on now and launch that in Target.
I love it. I am so inspired, ladies. Hopefully, and not even hopefully, because I know that you all are inspired as well. This has been another game-changing episode of Confessions of a Workaholic, meant to empower and encourage you to get that ass to work. You already have everything that you need to get everything that you want if you are willing to do the work. Thank you so much for tuning in. For advertising opportunities, please feel free to email ads@coriel.com.